Gotta love that, Megan, don't you?
Oh, it's beautiful. I think you should just keep playing that very chilled music rather than giving us off.
Government, so you gotta love it, don't you, Mark?
Yeah, I think most of the listeners would probably agree with you too. Keep playing the music.
You just do that, Mike.
Just play some songs and we'll get the ratings up. Anyway, nice to see you both. It's 9 minutes past eight, by the way. So budget day, let's start with you, Mark. Budget day tomorrow, what are you expecting?
Well, I mean, from our perspective, we're not expecting much, obviously. We're probably expecting the same what this government's done in the last 3 or 4 years, and that's just spray a whole lot of money around without any proper planning and without any way to actually measure what's been delivered. But for us, we'll be looking at, there's 3 points that we'll be looking at. Relief for the squeezed middle, which simply means, does the budget deliver meaningful income relief for those Kiwis who don't receive any government entitlements? We'll be looking at value for money. So have ministers taking steps to cut out wasteful spending in the departments? What ineffective programs, maybe if they stopped or changed, because they always sit there. Accountability and delivery, what outcomes will be achieved for any new spending and how will it be measured? So those are the 3 things that we're applying right across the board in each portfolio in terms of this budget delivery tomorrow.
As far as Associate Minister of Finance is concerned, which is one of your roles, Megan, how much role have you had or input have you had into this budget?
So I'm one of the 3 budget ministers, so it's the Minister of Finance, the Prime Minister and myself. So a reasonable amount as we've put it together. And look, any budget is a challenge, getting that balance right. I think any government will tell you you get far more bids than there is money, and it's a matter of going through. And I think one of the things that Grant Robertson does exceptionally well is that he and the Prime Minister had a very clear idea what the big things that we needed to fix on this budget. And Grant's been really clear on that, and that is that we had to address the issue of climate change and the challenge of climate change. We saw that earlier this week, but also health. And Grant's talked about that being a focus of this budget. We've got to end the postcode lottery that is our health system.
Right. So for people who can't afford stuff at the moment, whether it be petrol, food or whatever, is there something tangible in there tomorrow that they'll go, that was for me?
A bit of chilled out music isn't going to trick me into giving the budget away, Mike. One more sleep to go.
But that will be the pressure. That's the pressure on the government, isn't it, Mark? I mean, you call them the squeezed middle, but yeah. Everyone at the moment, cost of living, it is a crisis. And people can't afford to live, and do they want to hear about a health system that may or may not be fixed or a climate change problem that may or may not be addressed if they can't afford food at the supermarket?
Well, the reality is with inflation and interest rates is that squeezed middle, they're swimming flat out trying desperately to keep their head above water, but it's becoming tougher and tougher. So, you know, obviously we put forward our proposal, which is to adjust tax brackets for inflation. And that's purely to give Kiwis some of their own money back and ease the pressure on their household budgets. You know, and they are feeling it without a doubt.
One of the things, Megan, that your government is continually criticised for, you talk about the spending. First of all the money you're spending tomorrow in the budget you don't have. It's all borrowed anyway. But then you talk about the quality of the spend, and you'll defend it on health and do all of that, and that's your right, you're the government. But I look at Waka Kotahi last week, $145 million on consultants, 88 press staff. Who in their right mind can defend that?
Well, I think one of the things that every budget has to do is address not only the short term, the operational things we've got to spend on, and we've shown budget after budget we've got to do that, but we've also got to invest in infrastructure. And Waka Kotahi is a big part of that, and some of that is actually communicating to people what is happening. Now, you will be hard-pressed to find a government in the last decade where their agencies haven't had communication staff to go out and tell people what they're doing.
Well, it's not having communication staff. It's having 88 of them.
Yeah, but I mean, what kind of increase is that? What does that represent in terms of an increase? There is a number of things that need to be communicated. Now, of course, we're always checking that everything is value for money. But actually, you put the cost of that up against what is actually being spent on the infrastructure. And that's where the debate needs to take place.
Well, that's why I'm raising it, because on the infrastructure, $200 million has been spent, but it's $145 on consultants.
There is way more than $200 million that's been spent on infrastructure and roading. We've had the New Zealand upgrade. We've had shovel-ready projects. There has been billions of dollars put into our transport infrastructure by the South Land. And it's not $200 million, Mike.
In all fairness, they spent $600,000 for an empty office in Auckland Central with a bike car.
Well, that was for the cycle bridge.
They cancelled, yeah. But, you know, just on the spending, I mean, the $10,000 on the no signs, you know, it's a small number. But there's tons, there's probably thousands of those numbers spread right throughout these government agencies, and it just talks to a culture of where they're not careful with taxpayers' money. And, you know, I could have made up no signs for Poto and Michael. It would have cost $10. So, you know, $10,000.
Mike, I should have started with this, actually. You've got a breakthrough from Poto Williams. You will meet the police commissioner. This is very good news.
It is good news. Yeah, I got a letter back. We requested a meeting again, and I got an email back from the minister saying, yes, I could go ahead and meet with the commissioner. So I immediately emailed the commissioner's office, and he came back very quickly and said, really keen to meet, set a date. Who would you like to bring?
Good. And what brought that about, do you know, or it doesn't really matter? It's fixed, so that's good.
Yeah, look, I don't know. The good thing is we can move forward now, and I can sit down with the commissioner and sort of start to ask, you know, some serious questions around what's going on in terms of, you know, spike in crime, and also maybe indicate to him that if there's a change of government next year, sort of where we'd like to be going.
Okay, Megan, as far as the budget goes tomorrow, without giving too much away, it's fair to suggest the promised cash surplus, annual cash surplus, has been pushed out a year, isn't it?
Well, one of the things that Grant Robertson has done is it was announced the new fiscal rules, and what that did show was returning to when we'll return to surplus. I think one of the things that New Zealand can take great comfort from is that actually we will return to surplus faster than we did after the GFC, after the global financial crisis, that actually there is really good balance in there. There's a clear pathway to surplus. And I think the fact that we're able to do that faster than we did under national after the GFC in the wake of a global pandemic.
Could it have been the GFC plus the Christchurch earthquake that probably dented the accounts ever so slightly?
Look, I mean, the fact of the matter is we're getting there faster. This is a global pandemic that we've been through. This is the largest economic shock the world has been through in a century in terms of what we're going through. The fact that we're seeing international economic agencies coming to New Zealand and giving us AAA ratings actually shows our economy is in good shape and that we will get back to surplus.
That's good. So next question is, will we avoid a recession?
Well, I think there's a lot of commentary that's going on around that and different.
Yeah, but what's yours as Associate Finance Minister?
Well, what my view is that we see so many different commentators predicting different things. If I take one of the things around house prices and what's going to happen to those, we're seeing speculation of anywhere between a fall between 5 to 20%. Mm. I think the fact of the matter is that a lot of the economic models just aren't keeping up with how fast things are changing in the world. Not only have we had the global pandemic and the shock that they put into economies globally, but now that's followed up with a war in Ukraine that is having a huge impact on economies right across Europe. You're looking at the constraints in gas supply into Europe, 40% of it comes from Russia, and the way in which those economies are having to adjust. So I think the truthful answer, Mike, is that people just don't know at this point. Everybody knows things are cooling and they're slowing, but what we have to do is do exactly what Grant has done, is put in place those kind of rules that does show a clear path for New Zealand through these very strong headwinds.
The interesting thing for you guys in National, Mark, I suppose, is that for every dollar we spend, it's a dollar we don't have and it adds to debt. And I'm looking at countries like America, I'm looking at UK, I'm looking at New Zealand. If you fire hose your economy too much, you're going to go into recession. I'm convinced we're going into recession, so save that for another day. But what else can you do other than shore up an economy in difficult times?
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head, is that the government has to be extremely focused, laser focused and responsible on their spending. So you have to keep the economy going, but these guys have blue sky ideas, great blue sky ideas, but they can't actually implement them, they can't actually deliver anything. And so all that money is getting flushed down the drain. We've got nothing to show for it. And, of course, the only lever that the government really has to help with inflation and interest rates is the quality of your spend. And these guys, I don't think there's any Kiwi in New Zealand that feels like we've got a triple A rating at the moment in terms of where we're heading. I think the government's way too slow to act on some real issues around, for example, our supply chain. We needed an intervention from them 2 years ago, because a lot of the inflationary pressure that we're now feeling inside New Zealand is just comes purely down to supply and demand. There is no supply at the moment. So, you know, there's outside pressures and global pressures that it's very difficult for us to mitigate, but there's actually things internally that we can do, and these guys just are no good at doing it.
All right, we'll catch up with you guys next week. Appreciate it. As always, Megan Mitchell and Megan Woods and Mark Mitchell, and, of course, plenty of budget coverage tomorrow on News Talk ZB.